guys. Welcome to episode 264 of the JV Club with my wonderful guest, Yael. Oh my gosh, this harkens back to the recent Jenny Jaffe episode where someone that I did not know at all immediately became one of my new favorite people. What a freaking wonderful, delightful surprise. I want to get some shout outs out. I'm sorry that I had to skip an episode last week. I want to thank Kai and Joseph, John, Keith, and Sarah for your wonderful emails. I want to thank people who got some Eevee badges. Listen, I don't know if you ended up cosplaying as Eevee or if you just ended up with a free signed sheriff's badge, but I hope that one day you will make use of it and do my character proud. Of course, Stand Against Evil is now on. It's on IFC on Wednesday nights. I hope that you will tell others to check it out. Even if you don't have IFC, you should be able to watch it on ifc.com and tell your friends. And I think that's it. You're the Worst is wrapping up. I am in crazy Sketchfest mode. I'm very, very excited, though, to be doing Spontanea Nation with Paul F. Tompkins, Eugene Cordero, and Tawny Newsome at the Bell House this upcoming Sunday in Brooklyn. So hopefully I'll see some of you there. All right. Please enjoy this episode, and I will talk to you soon.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
So I'm recording because there's no like intro or anything. But just to go back to the whole sort of like cliche dream thing, for me, that's one of those things where like it's so reassuring to me on some level that humans are that predictable in some ways where, you know, instead of being like, I don't know, I think there might be something really wrong with me. I keep having these dreams that, you know, I'm on stage and I don't know my lines. That like that's just a part, that's a thing that so many, and people who aren't even performers have dreams like that.
Oh, absolutely.
To where there's just something that like whatever we take in stimuli wise we spit back out in our dreams.
Exactly.
And it's so consistently like so common for so many different people.
It's extremely predictable. And also I think like all my dreams, it's funny because I'm a pretty positive person in life, and then my dreams are like the worst emotional torture.
Are they really?
Yeah. Oh god, the
so
worst.
Just your unconscious is like, let's get this, let's yeah, get no, that, let's exercise I've had, these muscles.
Yeah, exactly. We gotta make you miserable for a while.
Yeah.
And then I have days where I don't talk to friends of mine because I'm like, you are a horrible dream.
Oh,
you are a horrible dream friend.
So real.
But I can't even explain because I feel dumb, but I end up like, you know, actually not like being able to look them in the eye.
I totally get that. There's residual, like it's a residue that you have to sort
it
of
is.
Like get over as if it was a real fight.
It's like, I'm still
like,
mad at
oh,
you.
Oh, wait, that wasn't
it's
real.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
But don't look at me.
Have you had like romantic dreams? I don't mean that in a sex way, but like even just romantic dreams like that where you're like,
torture,
why did I don't think I like this person, but in my dream, I clearly was very deeply in love with them.
No, with me, it's the opposite. It's like I would dream that the person I'm involved with, like I discovered never even liked me
oh,
or something.
No,
I know.
You do have like
yeah,
bummer dreams.
No, it's total bummer dreams.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's the worst.
Do you have any that recur where you're like, huh, that dream again?
I used to have a few recurring dreams when I was a kid, and they were actually legit creepy.
Yeah,
like
I had
I was
some serious
locked.
Night terrors when
really?
I was a kid. Yeah, where like my parents would wake me up because I would be like,
oh,
I'm
my
sure
God.
It's so scary as a parent to
oh,
hear
no.
a child screaming. Yeah, it's awful.
I don't know. I actually never asked my parents about it, but I remember I used to have recurring ones. One that I was like locked in a coffin.
Oof.
But I didn't know it was a coffin.
Oh,
and
no.
I just kind of woke up and I was in a closed space.
Oh,
and I would
no.
I realized it was a ring around my finger, and I would start pulling the ring, and I realized it was a string on it.
Oh,
and
wow.
then it was kind of an actual cinematic zoom out.
Yeah,
you know, like I pull out and then like
I
zoom
it.
Into the grave, and there was a little bell hanging on top of the
yeah.
grave that was attached to the string, and you would zoom in, but someone took the little like dingy dongy thing from the inside.
Yeah,
whatever it's called.
So they took the bell off.
They took
so
the
you
bell.
Couldn't
well,
actually
the bell was there, but the inside was there, so
right
it was shaking,
so you could
but nobody could hear it.
Wait a minute, hold on. Let's just back up for a second or move forward. I don't know what I'm doing. All I have to say is that if I were a person who believed specifically in past lives, I mean, have you told anyone to? Because this is the kind of thing where like someone will go, oh my God, this happened to you in the 1800s back when they were putting that, bells on coffins.
Who knows? I don't know.
Do you remember seeing something that, because I remember I used to love this movie called The Great Train Robbery. Mm-hmm. When I was little, that would like come on, you know, HBO or Showtime or whatever my dad had. And it was Sean Connery and Donald Sutherland. And they were thieves stealing all this gold from a train. And oh. One of the ways that they were able to like sneak someone into the cargo car was they had this coffin and they put Donald Sutherland inside it as a dead person. Hey. And there was a bell on the coffin. And that was the first time I'd ever seen that. And
Who knows?
Dad, why is there a bell on the coffin?
Like, yeah. You know, it's not going to be my parents watching there. Something creepy when I was a kid and didn't even remember it.
Or you were buried alive in a coffin. And but you know, people would say that. People would be like, oh yeah, you really need to work through that past life angst.
Oh, good. Because I am a big believer in suppressing
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. It's good. It's great.
Oh my gosh. And so with those kinds of dreams and stuff, are you drawn to scary movies?
I love
and
scary
like,
movies.
Okay, me too.
I love it. I love scaring myself because I really get scared. I'm not one of those people that will suppress the fear and be like, no, I'm totally fine. No, I love it. Yeah. Getting scared.
Yeah, I do
like
too.
The adrenaline of it.
I do too.
I go to all the Halloween stuff.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. I want to ask if you could give me a recap of anything that you had done this last Halloween that really affected you.
I always do the Horror Nights at Universal.
Okay, all right. And I've never done that. I've only done Not Scary Farm.
I haven't done Not Scary Farm yet.
They're probably really similar.
Haunted Hayride is lovely. But my favorite for the past 2 years has been Creep LA.
Oh my God. I've been wanting to do that. And I keep forgetting about it until like it does not
it's
around anymore.
Wonderful.
And so that's the one.
Because that's a real story. You get a story and you get separated from your group and these actors. And me and my friend,
you register in advance and you have to give them a little bit of information about yourself
I didn't.
You didn't. You just show up.
Somebody gave information for
no,
me.
No, I wasn't sure.
I don't think so.
I thought I read something where like when you get there or there's some initial thing where they're like, what are you afraid of? Oh, and you have to be like, lean in box.
No, I would lie.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. I would be like kittens.
Yeah, kittens.
I'm terrified of
kittens.
Cute, cuddly kittens.
Terrible
yeah.
kittens.
Okay, wait. So should I ask you about Creep LA? Or
well,
should
it's
I not
every
ask
year.
You? It is.
If
okay.
it's still running, you should definitely go.
Yeah.
It's an immersive theater experience. So basically, there are moments where you're separated from everyone and someone is actually performing only for you. But they're wonderful actors. You know, they're not just people in masks jumping out at you. They're like fantastic actors.
Yeah.
And they do this entire monologue, like give it their most, crying, screaming, everything. And it's just for you. There's something incredibly moving about that.
Well, yeah. How many people?
I almost
people...
feel like hugging them and saying, thank you.
Oh my God, totally. Well, I'm sure you've done
same
Sleep. Have you done Sleep No More in New York?
Yeah.
So that same
Which
thing where like
again.
If you, I've done it now 3 times.
Oh.
I will say this. It is a rate of diminishing returns adrenaline wise.
Oh, really?
Like no, I can't because you know what you know it.
I did not know what to expect.
Me neither at all.
Yeah.
And I mean just the wondrousness of the set is like I felt like am I dreaming?
Help,
what's happening?
Where people tell you there's a secret floor that nobody knows about only one person takes it.
Did you get to that floor?
No.
That happened to me the first time. Ooh. That's the other problem is I had the most adrenaline experience the first time.
They did everything.
I got everything. And then the second time I was, you know, sort of waiting for something else to kind of create that rush. And it was, it's been great every time I've gone, but it's definitely, it can't be
that's
shocking.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The fact that you can go back again and again and still have like a good experience.
It's true.
I mean, obviously you're not going to be as surprised.
I felt like I was chasing like the tiger. Like I was people were like, when they're like, you know, you never have the same heroin experience as you do
your first time.
Like, that's how I felt. I was like, what is wrong with me that I'm like so greedy for this feeling? And I meant to do Creep LA because I heard like, well, if you like this, maybe it will be.
And
there's
a bunch of immersive theater things. I haven't done enough.
I haven't explored enough either.
But Creep LA has been wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's different every year. This year is lore based. So it sounds like I'm promoting them. I'm expecting a percentage.
Listen, if they
want
to sponsor the podcast, I'm great with it. Well, okay. So if it was different than, so maybe it's still going this year. So don't tell me about this year, but what was the last year like?
I don't remember if it had a specific theme last year.
Are you like in a multi-level sort of a house type thing?
It was different locations.
Okay.
So it's really completely different every year. There were some of the same actors I noticed, which I was really happy about because I liked them a lot last year. But like, you know, last year I got like we were all in a room because you can go only up to about 8 people at a time. So I was with my friends in a room and then somebody jumped in through one of the windows. There was like this creepy dinner party and somebody jumped in through a window because they can touch you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they dragged me out through the window and I was like, ooh. Okay. And then we were taken, I was taken out into this, I don't know, like backyard of this pretend house. Mm-hmm. And I had to play a game of hide and seek with him. And then he like creeped me out. He blindfolded me or made me close my eyes and count to a certain number. And then he jumped out from somewhere after I couldn't find him for a while in this garden. And then he dragged me into another room. And it was this whole like fun experience.
So
and then
great.
They reunite you with your friends again. They suddenly walk in as you're like being, I don't know, attacked or something.
Right,
pretend
right.
attacked. And anyways.
And so each person it. As they're getting separated are potentially having their own individual
exactly. So each person actually ends up having like their own private experience.
That really is
and
so,
reunited with their friends again.
Something.
Like,
yeah.
I gotta do it.
I kind of like every time I was there, I'm like, I would love to act
that was my next
things.
Question. My next question was like, would you want to do
I
that?
I love it.
Yeah, I think I would too. I thought that at Sleep No More too. I was like, oh, there's just something.
I know, but I'm not great at parkour.
I'm also, I was going to say, I'm not a dancer. That whole scene in the hotel lobby where they're just like, yeah.
I don't know if that's useful to this troupe, but you know.
I could see a good creepy tap dance happening.
A creepy tap dance.
Yeah.
Actually,
a solemn, slow, you don't
like,
break eye contact.
Tap, like, duck, duck. Duck, just
exactly.
keeping the terrifying rhythm.
Yeah,
it's like chasing
work.
Someone in tap shoes. Uh-huh. Creepy enough.
It is. We have listen. There's so much to explore on this.
Hey, see,
I feel like it'd be fun to create a whole experience. Like I had a fantasy. Yeah. Well, do you like escape rooms? Oh my god,
I did one 2 days ago. I've done
did
about
you?
30.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah. Ugh, listen, you and I.
I know. I think
sisters,
we should do it.
What is happening right now? I'm in. I'm 100% in. I hosted a show, some of these guys know, on Geek and Sundry that was called Escape, where we had, like, I wish I would have known you then because we had, like, actors come in and we would do this whole elaborate escape room with all these clues and puzzles that was like a beautiful set. And then we break it down and do another one the next day.
Oh my God.
And so we had like a Jurassic Park, like dinosaur situation. We had the crazy, like scary cabin with like doll heads hanging from the sea. Gotta have that one. Serial killer
of
cabin.
Of course, that's great.
We had like a sort of a Raiders of the Lost Ark, like an old like Mayan temple where it was
that's incredible.
And so, so I definitely am a huge nerd for that kind of stuff too. And every time I'm doing like that was very satisfying because it did kind of scratch the itch of like, oh, I'm part of like the creation of this. But you get so again the greedy for that feeling where I was like, what if we could do like a whole weekend of that, like in a haunted manor?
I had the
you know,
same
where it's
idea.
Like a bed and breakfast
because
and you just solve
like 1 hour
all weekend.
Enough.
Yes.
And I was like, I kinda wanna like
it feels
live
like a warm up.
Place.
You have to you want to do like
so
I sometimes
usually
I do back
too.
To what
did.
Is happening right now?
Like that was my birthday.
Yeah, because you're like, well, we finished it. I'm ready. What's happening now?
Yeah, you can't just like, all right, bye guys, going to sleep.
Yeah.
No, you're pumped.
Yes. Oh my god, I love it. Okay, what one did you? What did you just do this?
I did the lunar. I don't know if it's a lunar escape, the lunar mission. Mm-hmm. Lunar mission, mm-hmm. I think it was.
Okay,
and it's. I think it was maze rooms.
Which one is? Oh, maze rooms. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
maze rooms
do a good
and 60
job.
Out are probably my favorites.
Yeah.
Here.
I like the ones. I like the escape, just the escape room LA. They're kind of hard, but they do.
Escape LA.
Yeah.
Room Escape.
It Room Escape? No, I think it is Escape LA because okay, they also remember. Do City Race. They do a bunch of like scavenger hunt type things too, which are really fun. So I just did one for Halloween that was downtown and you break up into teams and there were all these like clues that take you all on foot all through and like on the. Oh, totally.
I would love to.
They're great. And they have some ones that are continuous and they do. They do ones for California Adventure and Disneyland.
No kidding.
Yeah. So you learn really cool stuff about those places.
I've only been to
California
Adventure
yet. It's
really fun. Yeah. I want to. The lunar mission was fantastic.
Yeah.
It had about, not to spoil too much, but it had like 6 rooms.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
And the art, like the decoration was incredible. The art design was fantastic.
I got to do it.
And we did it in spacesuits.
You did? You had to put.
Oh, yeah.
Good work, guys. This is the kind of thing you're
committed.
Once you get that production value.
Oh, it was wonderful.
You were like very spoiled.
And I tried
it.
To get all my friends to breathe the entire time, like, but it didn't fly. I was the only one trying it for like 10 minutes and then I got dizzy and I was like, all right, screw this.
Wait, was that for your birthday or you were just saying
no,
like
no,
at
no,
a different point?
Now.
You were, yeah,
no,
but you
my
did it for
birthday,
your birthday
I did
too.
Like 2 or 3 escape rooms.
That's great. I did 2 for my birthday.
It's
this
my
is
favorite.
Fantastic.
Well, because I think it's just really such a,
You're not sitting at home playing video games with your friends. But I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. And like, I like the structure. Yeah, I like the silliness. I like people. You do. Yeah, because I feel like I drop in and out of the, like, the intensity of needing to solve it. Like, I'll get really, really into the time. Like, how much time do we have?
Yeah.
We need to solve this.
Yeah.
I'll take a step back and then I'll like just start laughing and have to make a joke because I'm like, I am so intense right now. What is happening?
What is Why am I so bossy?
Yeah. Yeah. I have like, I realize I have like a lower register escape room voice where like sometimes I'll say stuff twice. Serious.
You guys.
Yeah. Where it's like, all right, 20 to 2. Like, just like.
It's also probably because you have a walkie and you feel like in charge now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The
guys,
leadership
over,
skills.
Over.
Have the walkie.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna be in charge of a group.
So embarrassing.
I love it.
So, what a pleasure.
It's wonderful.
Now for you, and I think for most people, it really activates the kid in me. That is like, that was like, that could find adventure anywhere.
This is
and
what I
you
used
know,
to pretty much do in my room without knowing that I was doing
it. So that's my question is, yeah, are you an only child? You
I'm
have
an
siblings?
Only child.
Me too.
So I grew up.
Well, this explains
Lord.
It all. Yeah, and clearly, and you're not American. I'm
not
gonna go
American.
Ahead and make that guess based on
no.
your beautiful accent.
Oh, thank you.
Where are you
yeah,
from?
No. I was born in France, raised in Israel.
Oh, for God's
and
sake.
Moved here 3.5 years ago for the show.
So you were born in France but immediately moved to Israel?
No, I was like 2.5 or 3 years old.
Okay. So yeah. You don't have any memories of France?
I have some memories. I went back for the first time when I was about 16
mm-hmm.
and I instantly felt at home
mm-hmm.
when I was
and
in Paris.
And were you raised speaking? What language were you raised speaking?
So my mother is Austrian, my father's French. And
okay.
They met in Israel,
mm-hmm.
both early on in the 60s when they didn't speak any Hebrew and neither of them spoke each other's languages. So they spoke English
okay.
with a funny accent that they learned in school.
Uh-huh.
So they kept speaking English between them even when they knew Hebrew and, you know, they spoke each other's. And
yeah.
then, and then they moved back to France, had me. We're still speaking English between them. So English was my mother tongue.
Yeah.
But with a funny, weird, like,
well, I was going to, I my mom is fluent in French and taught English in Paris and taught
oh,
English in Quebec City. And then I was an exchange student in France.
Oh,
so I was
where?
Like, I feel like in like this, the kind of the central region right off the Loire, like near Blois. Oh. Do you know that city at all?
I haven't been there.
It's near, do you know Orléans?
Yeah.
So it's like an hour south of Orléans.
You're
along
kidding.
The Loire. So I was going to say, like, I
that's
feel
amazing.
Like I hear slang French, but I also feel that that's always wishful thinking. Like, I assume anybody with a slight accent that could be like Swiss, German, French, you know, that I think maybe it will have some inkling of French to it. So it's really funny that there's like any French connection at all. Also,
well,
French connections in a movie.
I think what happened with me was I was raised very French, even
yeah.
though I was in Israel.
Yeah.
I have obviously my Israeli influences and I was speaking Hebrew all my life and I went to Israeli schools and Hebrew speaking schools, everything.
Yeah.
But our household is very, very French.
Yeah.
So I was raised with a lot of French mannerisms, the facial expressions, the accent when I want it.
Yeah.
Some of the words which I sometimes use in English and people are like, that's not English.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you're saying. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, and my intense love of food
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
like passion of food and people eating together and sitting together and talking about food.
Yeah.
And all these things that I have. It was funny. It's almost like I was raised French, very French, but mm-hmm. without the language
mm-hmm.
and not
it's
in the
so
place.
So interesting. Yeah.
So I have some of the language, but I'm still, you know, it's something I'm still working on.
Yeah. Yeah. But you speak Hebrew.
Fluently. Yes. Hebrew,
that's
English,
extraordinary. And so when you came here, did you already know before you came here how unique that would be to a country that is not great at that stuff?
No.
Or did you
really, no,
were you like, I'm a special butterfly coming into this?
No, when I just got here, I was like, how do I blend in? How do I look like a weirdo?
let me immediately get rid of all my special qualities.
How do I blend in here? Until I eventually realized, oh, people like the things that I consider weird.
Yeah.
And people consider them charming. So
yeah.
better, you know, flaunt them rather than hide them.
Absolutely. And so did you audition from, like, what was your working life like in Israel before?
I was working for about 8 years
as an actor. Yeah, because there's a lot of really great programming that comes out that's original.
Oh, 100%. And I actually never in a million years thought that I would be working here. Like,
yeah.
if you would have asked me this 4 years ago, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
But
I was the same way when I lived in San Francisco. Like, up to 6 months before I moved to LA, I was like, well, I'll tell you where I'll never go. Los Angeles. No, thank you.
No, I mean, I would have killed to come here and work, but I never thought it was even a possibility. This is the place where, you know, all the greatest people in our industry come to work.
Yeah.
So the competition is pretty intense.
Well, that's certainly true. It helps when you can come, when you don't have to come and until you have a job. That certainly makes it more helpful.
Part of my like kind of living in denial. I was like, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. I'm not going to move there. I'm not going to work.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
I guess I gotta go. Yeah.
So what happened was that I came here with my partner for about a week, and I didn't know anyone, but I was like, all right, let's go. And I was so naive about the States, you know, Israel's tiny, it's like the size of New Jersey, that when he said he had to go do some, he had some meetings in New York, and then maybe we should go to Los Angeles, I was like, well, can't we just drive? He's like, no, fair. It's a 5.5 hour flight. Uh-huh. I was like, what? It's the same country. What the hell? What are we going, circles?
That's really funny.
And then, so I wasn't used to that. And then I came here for about a week. I didn't know anyone. We pretty much Facebooked everybody we knew and be like, does anybody know anybody in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
And then one person introduced us to an entertainment lawyer who is now my wonderful entertainment lawyer. And he had actually sent my showreel and stuff out to... two managers.
Yeah.
And that's how I met my incredible manager, Steve Kavovit. And then I flew back to Israel, heard about this thing called pilot season that I need to come for.
Right.
Did a bunch of self-tapes, came out for pilot season. And actually, I came here, I didn't know anyone. I booked some room in somebody's apartment on Airbnb. I rented a car from the airport, had never driven here before. The rules are completely different.
Are they?
Yeah, totally different. You can't take a right on a red light in Israel. You can't.
Yeah.
You can take a left when it's green no matter what. Like, they're completely different.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so intimidating.
The streets don't look the same. It's intense. And just drove like that from the airport with no GPS, like a big ass map.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah.
Took a Jeep. I don't know why.
Yeah. You're like American. It's American.
In like a humongous car. Uh-huh. I was like, I'm in America. And drove, somehow found this apartment. And that's how I went on for about 2 weeks. Kind of going from audition to audition, changing clothes in my car. And eventually I actually booked a lead in another CW pilot mm-hmm. called The Selection, mm-hmm. filmed in Budapest. So flew there.
I love that you're like in LA and then they immediately are like, well, anyway, you're going to be leaving this entire country and heading to Hungary.
I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And then filmed that in the frost. It was an unbelievable experience. I had no idea of any of the like onset lingo. It's you know, a totally different experience.
Yeah, yeah.
People were saying like, check the gate. And I'd just be like standing there. Like, yeah, that means go away.
Yeah.
Like, oh, where am I going? You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, and then that didn't go forward. And I went back home to Israel and, you know, thinking that was nice, but that's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
And then off self-tape, they actually booked me for a show called Rain, which I did about 8 episodes for.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
At 4. And then I was back. That's and
a, is that Jeff Goldblum's show? Is that, am I thinking the wrong thing? What am I thinking of? What's Rain?
Rain is another CW
Rain
show.
Oh, Rain.
Yes.
I think he
not like Rain.
It's possible
like
he may have been on a show that was called like Rain.
Oh, really?
Or I made that up and I don't know where that came from. I don't know. I just don't know. Okay, so Rain is the one about like being a
like Mary Queen of Scots.
Yeah, yeah.
And then had an interesting 8 months that I was always, but it was never more than 2 weeks in the same place. So I was flying from Toronto where I was filming to Los Angeles to Israel, kind of bouncing around the entire time.
Yeah.
And then after that, next pilot season, I auditioned for Jane the Virgin and got that and came back home to Israel and was told the show got picked up and had about 2 weeks to pack up my stuff and move to the States.
Oh my gosh.
Still not believing it. It's been 3.5 years since that and I still can't believe it.
I totally get that. I feel the same way. Yeah, I feel the same way about stuff that you sort of go, I don't know why this, like it's sort of rather sad that something that could be so positive feels like it's not possible, like it can't really be real
like
or that it's going to be
celebrate.
Ripped away in
it's
some
been
way.
3.5 years and I'm still
afraid
to celebrate.
I totally get it. But I think that's a really, I mean, the upside of that is that that shows how grounded you are, because there are people who are sort of like, I deserve this. This is what I expected. And it's not that any one person deserves it. Yeah, it deserves it less or more. But like, you're clearly a grateful person. You're not I guess this is just how it works. I suppose I'll, always.
I'm still sure I'm going to get killed off any minute. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get every episode.
Get
I'm just checking the end to make sure I'm not dead.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is also that's a good actor's nightmare too, is the idea that you wouldn't know that you were being fired off a show until
because
you read the script.
When I got cast with that pilot, people were telling me like, after the table read, they can fire you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah, all the horror
and
stories.
And in the pilot that I did, the one that didn't get picked up, what I told you about, I actually was cast to play an American, not just an American, but her name was America Singer, and she represented America 300 years in the future.
Oh, wow.
So I had to have a perfect American accent.
Yeah.
And I was like, I did it.
Uh-huh.
I've never lived here. I've never spent more than 2 weeks in this country.
Yeah.
I got to start working on this.
Yeah. I feel like that based on, I mean, listen, I'm sure some people probably don't even hear really that you have an accent. Yeah. Now I'm patting myself on the back where I'm
good.
Like, I have a thing
totally
for accents. So I'm a bit of a Sherlock Holmes in that way.
No, at this point, I think I can do it.
Yeah.
But yes, Americans in my daily life can sometimes recognize that I'm not American.
Yeah.
It's not really the pronunciation. It's the intonation.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense.
It's the bizarre usage of, how do I put it? It's kind of like I get everyday sayings wrong.
Oh, you actually do that.
Oh,
that's everyone's
terrible.
Favorite thing. In
oh,
a,
I
yeah.
don't know. Not
in
mine.
A, I wonder, but like in a,
people,
in a movie, when you see
adorable
people saying like, you know, I can't conjure even one right now, but the, like,
well,
you know.
It's like my friend was telling me the other day, she's like, all right, I'll keep my eyes peeled. And I'm like,
oh, oh yeah. That's a weird
Why
one,
Why would
too.
You peel your eyeballs?
There are a lot of them like that. Once you take a step back oh and you God. Go, where did that come from? And I am fascinated by the etymology of terms like that.
How
like
that
to the point
up.
Where I will have to look things up sometimes. Like I'll say it and then I'll go, no,
why?
You know what? I need to know why
weird.
I say that. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know offhand. I don't know why you would say you'd keep your eyes peeled. Why would
know.
Why do we
why
say that?
Why would you peel them?
I don't know why I don't have an assistant, intern, or producer.
Like,
yeah,
it helps me look for things.
Yeah, I hope it's not some horror. It will be. It will be like, well, in
the
16th century, yeah, people used to take their eyes, dead people's eyes out and put them on their lapel to show that
they were
part of an organization. Yeah, I mean, just some gross, horrible.
Oh,
ew.
Man.
Ew. It's so true. So what was... I'll get this out of the way first. I do have friends from Israel. I do have, and I have many friends who have also worked in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I think people who don't have those associations bump up against is this idea that if you live in Israel, every like time you walk into a cafe, you feel like you're going to get bombed. Like that's a
yeah,
weird,
no.
like that's a one
I
of those
know,
things that gets sort of propagated in America
I know.
Where people are like, how do you, what's
yeah.
it like
are you
living
people
every single day
to go visit? And
yeah.
I was
oh,
like,
absolutely.
Are you kidding me? I feel much safer in Israel than I do walking the streets in New York.
Yeah. Right.
And I love New York, but I mean, I was in Israel my entire life and
yeah.
you know, thank God, knock on wood, nothing
yeah.
ever happened, but it's really not like the streets are safe. People are safe. It's the most wonderful place on earth, in my opinion. It's
yeah.
like a place where, you know, anything you trip over a tiny little rock and you're going to have 30 people around you. Like, are you okay?
That's
can
nice.
can we bring you some soup? You
yeah.
know, it's
yeah.
like warm, warm, incredible culture that just everybody's going to invite you for dinner, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a warm, incredible culture and vibe there all the time that like crime is very low, you
yeah.
know, it's just, I don't know. I feel incredibly safe there. And actually the one thing that I've noticed being not living in Israel now, but being Israeli, is that I wish people knew the Israel I know.
Mm.
That's like my main
yeah.
mission when I talk to people about Israel. I'm like, it's not all about politics.
Yeah.
And it's not all about war. And I love the fact that, you know, all Israeli movies used to be, and they many of them still are, and they're fantastic, but very... either political or very, you know, about...
Yeah, because it's a means
yeah,
by
exactly.
which you can express
yeah,
those
yeah.
things.
Yeah, and they're fantastic films. But
yeah.
I actually really enjoy the newer Israeli movies that aren't about that at all.
Yeah.
And that kind of show like, oh, this is just life in this fantastic country.
Yeah.
Which, you know, people are lovely and happy, and there's an incredible food culture
mm-hmm.
and beach culture and the best nightlife in the world, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I wish people knew more about that.
Yeah.
You know?
How big is it in comparison with like, what is there an American state or that people say like, well, it's roughly the size of North Dakota. Do you know what I mean?
It's roughly the size of New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, you said that already.
I think so. Yeah.
My bad.
No
in my,
worries.
In my mind, I like moved. You absolutely said the word New Jersey. And in my mind, I just like skipped
Maybe
past
I was talking
that and
about
was
how
like,
much I love New Jersey.
Yeah. God, she loves it. You know what? That's my one takeaway. I don't remember anything else we talked about,
but
she
really
loves New
Jersey.
Jersey. And so what is the, so, okay, well, what took your parents there? Or were Israel? Either, because one's French and one's Austrian, you said.
Yes. My father went there actually to start working for the Israeli television.
Okay.
And my mother went there on a trip and just completely fell in love with it. Mm. And, you know, she describes it as she was sitting on top of a water tower looking out at these giant orange groves and just breathing this air. And this, you know, Israel is basically a miracle country. Mm. And being young in Israel, you feel this like incredible drive that you can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that can stop you. Everything's possible. I think that's why that's so many startups wonderful. Come out from Israel and so many
yeah.
you know, television shows. I mean, so many things come out of Israel, even yeah. though it's so small and so new.
Yeah.
This idea that anything's possible.
That's so great.
Thanks.
Is that, does that, and does that translate, as you said, sort of being a young person, now looking back at like, what was your high school like when you were there? Was it, did it have that sort of like, let's explore all of these different avenues of interest and anything's possible?
Probably. I was terrible in high school. I was
okay. Great. I was, great.
More of like a metalhead. Let's sit outside and smoke cigarettes. Kind of high school.
Amazing. The person sitting in front of me. Also, I was goth in high school, and people. Oh. No one can accept that either. They're
no,
like,
me too.
I don't need
to dress that
Are
way.
You
but
sure
I still
you know what
to
that means? Yeah. Okay. This is also another thing we have in common. Great.
like
okay.
The dog
so
color might not be on right now, but it's you know
100% had more than one like yes. Am I really going like which one am I gonna wear today? Amazing. Okay, so and did that translate? You also seem like I feel like we both have a lot of like positive bubbly energy, and I still had all of that when I was like wearing black lipstick.
Oh, 100%. That doesn't mean you have to be a depressed
yeah,
person.
Yeah, totally, right? Okay.
Actually, the coolest people I've ever met, people who are still my friends now, were yeah. my goth friends in high school.
Yeah.
Like, I found them the most interesting
people.
Isn't
that funny? Oh, I wonder,
yeah.
I just think that's interesting because I definitely do feel like I responded to, I feel that I had a lot of angst and I did respond deeply to sort of getting that out some way
but
and all
I
of that kind of
actually
stuff.
A healthy attitude.
Yeah, right?
I mean, like, I'm angry. I'm not going to bottle it up. I'm going to let it out in music. What better way to kind of
absolutely.
Let it out?
Absolutely.
Go dancing and jumping around and
yeah.
headbanging. And
absolutely.
Then, and it's not right for everyone, but it was perfect for me.
Yeah. Like, were you, did, was there a point at which, and I asked this clearly because now I'm like, I'm sure we're the same in every way, but where I sort of had this like, it was sort of a transformative summer where I went from sort of just being like, kind of how I am now of just like random, like, I don't know. What are you wearing? I don't know. Whatever is someone's
sneakers.
Wearing. Yeah. What are people wearing to like, it suddenly being very important to me to like take on this new way of
yeah.
stressing and thinking. Did you have the sort of like,
absolutely.
Like
I was
watershed
it's nice
moment.
That you could have been the way you are now because I was just confused.
Yeah.
I was
well,
like,
I'm
from,
sure that
I went from confused yeah. to oh wait I can
yeah.
express myself through something I'm wearing.
Yeah. How old were you?
It had nothing to do with looking good. I think it was about 15.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with looking good. It was about I of course thought I was incredibly scary.
Yeah.
Of course when I was
I did too.
When I was 15 I looked like I was about 12.
Yeah. I look at pictures of myself now and I'm like, "Oh,
like, you know,
you're
so
cute."
And the eyebrows.
Totally.
And like a very small head, but all my features were big. So I had like big eyebrows, big eyes, big nose, big lips, big
yeah.
ears, but a small head for all those to go on. Like no idea what to
That's
do with
wonderful.
My hair. I tried to kind of like flatten it back as
yeah.
much as possible.
Yeah. To make your head look even
but
smaller.
Of course, that was the end result, but I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
I thought like people must be terrified of
That's
me.
Right.
Adults must see me in the street and go, "Oh no."
Yeah. I think I wish, and I still have that about, I've talked about this before, but like still feeling uncomfortable and unnerved around police officers. But now that I think about it, even then, I'm sure they were like, "Yeah, we're not worried about
yeah.
you, kiddo."
Like,
you know,
you're gonna grow out of that phase.
Yeah, I don't think there was any. There was never anything I did that was so extreme that they ever would have been anything other than like, "You probably went to a Huey Lewis in the
cute.
News concert
yeah,
when you were
yeah,
a kid, didn't
same.
You?" Like, it's still transparent.
Well, I
That's
remember
so
being
funny.
Horribly upset because Megadeth came to Israel, which was like a huge thing,
yeah.
you know. And I spent all my money on getting a ticket, and then of course there was some. Mosh pit at the front and like the fence, I don't know, the fence was kind of the front of the thing, kind of like one part of it collapsed, and then after three songs they just kicked everybody out and stopped the concert.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a logical response to that sort of... That's the world in which you want everyone to be like, fuck it, we're just gonna move this to the field. Yeah. Whatever, like there's gonna be
and you're
some...
like, oh, wait, no, security.
Yeah, please file out in an orderly fashion. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's not really the vibe I was hoping for.
And so, drink some tea.
What was the, was there a person, like for me, there was a person who sort of like... pulled me into that like I really looked up to, and she was like, hey, have you heard this music? Like for me it was more like Depeche Mode and The Cure and like that sort of thing. But
Depeche Mode was just performing at the Bowl.
I know,
I didn't know about it ahead of time. I was just passing it. I was like, what?
Well, for me it's one of those things too where because I then they were so important to me for a limited period of time, and then like they had albums that came out after
that you didn't
I wasn't
to.
Into mm-hmm. So I there's part of me that's like, I did see The Cure however, and it was wonderful. But yeah, there is part of me that's like, I can't tell if there are certain things that I love revisiting and there are certain things that I almost feel precious about that I want to leave there. Like, okay, you know what? I think I'm just going to leave that, that there.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. But did you have somebody who was like, hey, check this out.
Yeah, there were a few people who, you know, I became friends with suddenly when I switched to high school, and I was like, oh, you people are really cool. Because they were really intelligent and fun and well-read and interested in having conversations. And it wasn't about being popular and it wasn't about, you know, looking good or... Yeah. So for me, it was perfect. I was like, I like you people.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, you know, became part of that group and more people added on. And that was kind of... I was never terribly rebellious. So that was kind of my form of rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did your parents have a reaction to where they were ever sort of looking askance, or were they kind of
really.
Like, eh, okay, you still
artists.
Seem like you.
So they're
got
like,
it.
Express yourself.
Got it. Yeah.
They're like, yeah, great.
Did you have friends who were rebelling more against their parents, who looked at your
I'm
relationship
sure.
to your parents and were like,
yeah, my parents were always
why
the cool
your mom's
ones.
Really cool about your black
yeah,
lipstick
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. My parents were always cool. They were probably worried because I wasn't a very good student because I had like massive ADD. So until that was discovered, they were worried about my grades. But but after that, they were like, oh, okay, she's just special.
Right. Oh, that word.
Special,
really. So it puts a balm on a lot of different types of things. It's very nice. Did you have stuff that you were you able to sort of rein in your attention for specific things that like oh I can do this class because I actually give a crap?
Oh, yeah.
Versus what were some of the things you did respond to?
Art, history. I think it for me it was very much about how the teacher engaged with us. You know,
teacher
was interested and had a good time and was actually cared about what they were teaching, I was interested.
Yeah.
But
same.
Once it was someone just kind of repeating things that were in a book or the homework was too much, I was spaced out. And for a long time, I didn't know what it was. You know, I didn't know. I was like, I know I'm not stupid. I don't know why I can't follow along the way other people can.
I feel exactly the same way. I was exactly the same way. And on top of all of that, for a person who my parents were both teachers and so I had a tremendous amount of respect for them and what they did. And so great teachers were like the best.
Yes.
And then teachers who weren't operating at that level, I was also very disdainful of.
Oh.
So that makes it hard too, because then it was like, not only do I not want to focus, but like, you're not doing your job. So I'm not going to hold up my end of the bargain either.
No.
You know, sort of feeling a sense of,
I mean, I agree. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was more like I was never someone who would bother other people in class. I was just sitting in the back kind of drawing.
What were you drawing? What was the art stuff that you
probably
responded to?
Dragons and, you know.
Couldn't be happier with that answer. Couldn't be happier.
Or, you know, whatever I was drawing when I thought it was Wiccan.
Let's dig into that for a moment, can we? How deep into that did you go?
Not very. I was still Jewish. So there's a limit to... You know,
that's wonderful. It's because I had a friend who I had a couple of friends who like considered themselves Wiccan. And I would say, what is that in your day to day? How is that kind of expressing itself? And I felt I never got a straight answer. So I was curious about
me, it was kind of like, well, let's get together and make a spell of a giant dragon around my house to protect it. OK,
I mean, that's
and we do
wonderful.
It, and we're like, well, I guess it's there.
Great, we did it. I'm sure it worked, you guys.
I'm sure it worked.
I do remember saying
nothing
it would be an invisible dragon.
Not that anything happened any other night, but, you know.
That's totally wonderful. Safe. What about like D&D? Was that something I was just having
a conversation with a friend of mine about, like, how I feel like I missed out on that whole thing.
Me too.
Because you can't.
No one asked me. No one. I had a vague sense of
once you like hit 30,
someone.
You can't. Yeah. You can't take up D&D for the first time.
I mean,
it's like, I don't
know. Let me assure you that you can.
But like, people have been doing this for so many years. Yeah. They're like, we're not going to accept a newcomer and like teach you all these complicated rules now.
Well, I'll tell you, there's because of the sort of like the Geek and Sundry world online that I kind of got involved with just through like friends and through a show that I was on and stuff. There are plenty of people who would love to teach you how to do that stuff. A lot of it happens. Like, there was definitely, I did a couple of shows where I was asked to do something that was adjacent to D&D, if not actual traditional D&D. And I was like, guys, I'm super game to do it. I don't know anything about anything. So I'm going to look really dumb and people are going to be like frustrated that I'm having to have things explained to me. But somehow they end up just like telling you enough that you can sort of get
fake
through, stumble
your
way through it. And it is pretty fun. It does have like the feeling of me wanting to play and have, you know, wild, crazy things happening that I was imagining were happening. That all of that makes sense to me. But I think the part that I missed out on that I might not have even responded to when I was younger was that I did really want to be outside, like scrabbling through trees. And the idea of talking about it in a room, I think would have been like, well, but if we're going to go, if you're telling me that there's like an ogre after me, I want to run. Like, I want to feel that adrenaline, right? Like Creep LA, like you want to feel, So that's the part of it that I think I would have maybe not, because I did want to act stuff out in a more kind of, you know, visceral way.
I was good at telling stories. But I think having to follow rules of a game would be frustrating when I was a kid, because I really like to kind of make up my own rules.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an only child thing.
It might be. I think that like, wouldn't surprise me at all. No. We're in our own private universe.
Yeah.
And was the school you sort of like renowned for being great for education? Is there, you know, here there are so many different levels of education that you can get in a high school. It's like a public high school that's terrible, a public high school that's amazing, that focuses on XYZ, a private school that's all girls.
I don't know what it's.
And it was co-ed. Was it co-ed? Do boys and girls?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I didn't know something like that. That's not co-ed even existed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, it's true. Now that I think about it, the majority of private schools are all Catholic, so I don't know why there would be like an abundance of Catholic, Catholic nuns teaching and rapping you on the knuckles with rulers.
That
I guess
happens?
I think it might.
Oh, my. Well, no, we didn't have that.
I'm not sure. Capital punishment. I'm not, or like, you know, corporal punishment. I'm not sure where the capital punishment, the death penalty. Young
we
students
really
would get the death
here.
Penalty. Did you not know that? I have so much to tell you about this country. I really have a lot to tell you. Your mind's going to be blown.
I'm still really happy to be here. So.
Not for long.
Kill
not for long. Yeah. And how about like music? Was that something that was in the school? Yeah. Was it like, did you ever play a musical instrument?
Oh. So I loved, my dream is still to play the piano.
Mm-hmm.
I took violin last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Nice.
But
oh,
my
I'm glad to hear that. I always
send me both to dance classes and music classes. And I chose dance because it was kind of like, for me at the time, it felt more like, I want to be on a stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I want to
totally.
Dance. I want to express.
Yeah. Was it ballet or was it, oh, tap
it
dancing. You know how to tap dance.
And tap and jazz dancing.
You get the full gamut of,
I got the,
that's cool.
And I loved it. But I realized at some point that it wasn't fully what I wanted to do, and then tried painting, and that was not it for me. My mother's a painter, so I tried it, but clearly no. And then not me. And then tried modeling for a very short amount of time until I discovered acting.
Mm-hmm.
And fell completely in love. And then I realized that my instrument is actually, you know, me and all the weird faces I used to make in the mirror that my mother used to say, you know, you're never going to make a living out of that. And I was like, ah!
So there.
Every time something weird happens on Jane the Virgin, I'm like, look at that. She said I'd never make a living out of that.
Yeah.
Look at that cross-eyed weird chipmunk face.
I do feel like I have a cartoon face also. And I did have someone... I mentioned on the podcast, I can't remember who it was. It certainly wasn't someone that I knew well, but someone did say to me, like, in looking at like a set, because whenever someone sends me for those of you who like just, so when you're on a show and they want to do press for it, or they want to have certain, like there might be a still photographer on set, mm-hmm. for example. And so then sometimes they send you photos for approval where they'll say like, okay, we're going to use, you can veto like 50% of these because you don't like them or whatever, but like the other half will want to use mm-hmm. and distribute and all that kind of stuff. And I swear, like every photo that gets taken of me on set, I just have the most screwball cartoonish expression. And someone, at least one person has said to me like, you know, you'd be so pretty if you didn't just make all those faces. And you're like, oh, well. Thanks.
Well, my face does.
I think we're past that now. Like, I don't even know. I watch the stillness of certain. I just started watching, I watched a few minutes of Alias Grace on Netflix, mm-hmm. the Sarah Polley thing that came out. And the girl who's in that, who I'd seen in something else, like, particularly for that role, her face is just like unmoving and it's just so beautiful and perfect. Like, all of her features are just perfect. Yeah. And so much of what happens is like really tight on her face and you just see it in her eyes. Mm. She's just emoting through her eyes. And I like every picture I see of myself, real furrowed brow or just like, I mean, it is plastic. I can't not.
Say, rubber face.
Listen.
But, you know, ended up being useful.
It is useful.
Since
it
I think my
useful.
Character of Petra and Jane the Virgin wasn't actually initially supposed to be a very funny character, mm-hmm. and then she had a twin sister showed up once they got to know me, who's just only facial expressions.
Oh, that's so great.
She's just like that the whole time, you know. And
yeah,
I wish I could show my face on the podcast.
Well, but you guys have to watch the show, everybody. That is so satisfying.
So I get to play with it and do a lot of physical comedy, which I freaking love.
I do too.
Because I do it by accident in life all the time. So exactly. I'm like, oh, I get to make use of it.
Yeah, finally these bruises are worth something.
I am constantly
Oh my
bruised.
Gosh. I don't know how.
They had a nickname for me on set, something about bruises. The makeup artist made it up because they always have to cover. Because yeah. my character always wears short shorts.
And oh, yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Every bruise always
bruise,
shows.
Bruise, bruise, bruise.
And I had, so about 3 weeks ago, I had like 22 mystery bruises on one of my legs in the same place.
22 mystery bruises sounds like an escape room.
I know.
You guys gonna do 22 mystery bruises? Amazing.
It's wonderful. Oh, there's God. 22 rooms each on the roof. And then, but like all kind of like yeah. here on
okay.
my thigh. And I was like, how?
No idea.
And
how
I went through my house knocking myself into all kinds of different
You gotta
things
do it. You gotta
to
do
what the
that's,
hell
that's,
I was bumping
that's
into.
Field testing. You're going out into the field and you're testing the environment.
I strongly suspect the little thing that's hanging on the thing under the kitchen sink that mm-hmm. to put the
oh,
towel
okay.
on, because that's kind of standing
I'm gonna,
out.
I'm going to submit a theory.
All right.
Somebody very small is punching me. I believe in tiny munchkins, so you may not agree. I'm doing like an elaborate untwisting of this microphone as I do this. Here's my theory.
Okay.
I get bruises in the same place. I'm going to tell you what I think mine are from. Mm-hmm. You tell me if this mm-hmm. rings any bells.
Desks,
because I
corners.
Definitely want to be good guess. Mm-hmm. I my goal ultimately is, of course, to be a detective.
Yes,
ultimately,
of course.
That's why we do those escape rooms.
Yeah,
it's
same.
Around the corner from solving a crime.
I think it'd be brilliant at it if I find a key and I see a lock and go, aha!
Exactly. For me, it is getting onto a transpo van. And hitting my hip on
the little metal
clip in, because I always scoot down. I'm always like, oh, come in here. And then I'll scoot along and it slams into the like tender flesh of my outside thigh or my hip. And
that might
immediate
be
bruise. Because
oh God,
they're so locked in. They're so locked in when you're getting in and you don't notice them. And I just bonk them every
and we're
single
both
time.
Pretty much translucent.
Yeah, exactly. So
any
it takes
bruise,
nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's a good
That's
theory.
My hypothesis.
That's a good theory.
I don't know if it's a hypothesis. I probably need more evidence to make it a high thought, but it is a theory.
We should
wait, which goes first? Is it a hypothesis? Hypothesis.
You're asking
one of them is like, yeah. now you've done the work, so you have a theory. I think a hypothesis is right. Actually, you're right. Because it's like
no, that was
the
you,
beginning.
Right. I didn't say that.
Well, I can't. The line between us is blurred to the point where I don't know who's talking anymore. How wonderful.
You should hire a transpo van, try to get on it and off it and on
I'm
it,
telling
it.
You.
See if we end up
every time,
bruises.
Unless you're, if
and
you're sitting in that
house,
one of those
trying to
pros,
bump into the thing a bunch.
I'll get right into
Can
that
Can I tell
with
you about a very weird experience that's happening to me right now that
Please.
I think you know about? So I'm wearing new shoes.
Okay.
And my two little pinky toes have
yeah.
fallen completely
Oh, God.
Asleep.
That also happens
no,
to me a lot.
Just the pinky toes.
I know what you're talking about. It happens to me with sneakers when I lace them too tight. When I lace my sneakers too tight, my pinky toes fall asleep.
What is going on?
Let me see your shoes.
They're very they fancy are lace shoes.
Ups. They are lace they're just ups. Probably it's probably just that because they're new, you're still like you just have enough pressure pushing your pinky toe that they went to sleep.
I'm now wondering if when I get up I can walk. Can I mean, you walk with three toes?
I think you'd be surprised at how little your pinky toe is contributing to your overall mobility.
I think they're incredibly important.
Mine, well, maybe yours are longer than mine. Mine are so stubby. Ew, it's like someone.
You sound not like I have like a real freaky long, long ass foot pinky toes.
Like three knuckles. They can bend all the way.
Like long.
Your pinky toe is probably like 2-3 times longer than any of your other toes. Well, no, I'm only saying that because mine is so shrimpy. It's like, it's so tiny. It is like a jelly bean. Like, it's not doing anything. The toenail itself is like the tiny, it's almost invisible.
How can you do yoga without that?
That's a good point. I don't know.
You need to, that balances out.
Well, I'll carry your you out existence. Of here if I have to.
Okay, thank you.
Or I can just do a series Hire of the trash short program. Punches to your short punches to wake up
Maybe
the pins
need to,
and
like,
needles
jump
feeling.
Up and down here for a while.
Yeah. Right. Do you ever get that where you when you fall asleep and something's fallen asleep that's like major
oh,
where like
I sleep real weird.
I do too. And I'll when I wake like up with a dead arm. Dead arm is terrifying.
But it's not even like logical dead arm.
Oh, or, no. I mean,
I'll
if it's
like a shoulder blade fall asleep. And I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
How was that could even I have possibly done? What did I do? Like, I wake up with like a butt cheek asleep, a shoulder blade asleep. And as you can see, this happens also not when I'm asleep.
Yeah. Well,
also, if a cat is sitting on me and I can't move and
sure.
I'll let everything fall asleep.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Waist down.
Sure,
the
me
cat
too.
Sitting on me
too.
Like, this is sacrifice.
Oh, man. To know that you have the capacity to stay that still, but then you're also punished for it because all
but
of
I'll
a sudden
it.
You're
it's
like,
my
it's
choice.
Dead.
Like, it makes sense. The it's cat's right. got a nap.
It's your absolute right. I won't take that away from you.
No.
Okay. First of all, this has flown by so fast. I just looked and it's been almost 50 minutes that we've talked and I don't know. I can't wrap my head around that. Mr. Einstein, you're correct, sir. You are correct. I got to get into this MASH game.
Okay,
so,
which I've never done
so
before.
So I prepped you.
Show.
I did some prep for it.
Okay.
Well, here, I'm going to ease you in because you already revealed something about yourself that will work very nicely in this category, which is three instruments that you that like if you woke up tomorrow, one of these you'll end up with. As you know, it's kind of an eeny, meeny, miny, moe situation. So give me three that you'd be happy to end up with that you wake up tomorrow and you're like a virtuoso and you didn't have
piano.
To practice. So I know this is how I came up,
vocal,
knew that
like
one.
Being able to sing.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Yep.
And a hammer. I want to build everything myself.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Wait a minute. Let's back up for a second. Just the ability to hammer? I feel like there's more than
well,
comes
you asked
into
for the
it.
Instrument. So I'm like, all right, here's a tool.
That's fair.
Well,
that's
I want
very
to, okay,
fair.
Okay. No, okay.
That's very
can you,
fair.
Can I delete it?
Yeah, can you
I go
can,
back?
You
all
can
right,
definitely
let's
delete
do
it. I'll
gardening.
Cross it out.
I want
but I really,
like,
but I really,
I
do
want
love
a real
hammer.
Green thumb. I bought like
okay,
five gardening books because now I have the first garden I've ever had
oh,
in my
yeah.
life, and I would love to be that person.
Me too. Me too. I go through phases, which is kind of the worst thing for a gardener.
You murder all your succulents.
Yeah, where it is like I think I might be really great at this, and then,
then everything dies.
A month later,
yeah. So I'm gonna try to like grow
gardening.
Some
great
stuff.
Great. Okay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Let's do next category is give me three. Let's do fictitious places that you wish you could have like a vacation home.
Fictitious.
So, yeah. So more like, I mean, it could be, you know, on the moon because mm-hmm. that's not practical, but it can also
seems
be
boring as
I
hell.
Know it seems very lonely to me.
and there's no like
it could
air.
Be like Hogwarts type
oh,
world.
Yes.
Or like,
all right.
The, you
so
know what I mean?
All, oh, so the Shire.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Got it.
You know, yep. Hobbits. So definitely Hogwarts.
Okay. Great.
And,
The third one's always the tricky one.
That's always the tricky one. Is it just me or is it always like
that? No, it is always like okay. that. Because it's also like you roll through the first couple knowing you have like another one to say. And then yeah. the third one becomes like oh this
oh,
is the
last
one in the category.
Really
I really
good.
Gotta make this good.
That's
yeah.
true. All right. Somewhere like some amazing fisherman's town south of France.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
She was a real squeaky. Did you hear that? I wonder if the podcast can hear that.
Well, because they are patent leather.
They're very shiny.
I wish they had taps
on
the
know
bottom.
If they are leather.
their patents.
I've actually been looking into where I can get a good pair. I don't have tap shoes here. So I was like,
I gotta get you some
tap
shoes.
I have a house. So now I have nobody underneath me.
Oh, yeah.
So I can actually tap my way
around
the house.
That's very thoughtful of you.
I know.
Many people would have just tapped their way into their neighbor hating them.
Can you imagine living under a tap dancer?
I'd love to be able to tap dance. Like, and I know there are classes you can take.
I know. I'm going to take them.
Oh, it's great. But you don't even need them. You already know how.
Some Fosse and some tap dancing.
Yeah. Such a cheerful. That's great.
I've been trying to draw pins to our showrunner, Jane the Virgin, about the fact that I can tap forever.
Wow.
So my twin sister can show up. Like,
maybe we need some sort of a crowdsourcing, like an onslaught of people tweeting Jane the Virgin
let her tap.
Everyone needs a cause. Okay. So next one, similar, but this will allow you to sort of exercise even more of like imaginary worlds. Three movies that you can jump into and just be in.
Well,
and you're not reliving the plot. I know. I mean, I could give you Harry Potter. That way you've doubled your chances of ending up near
I just
Hogwarts.
Want everything Harry Potter so I can live in it. No. Okay. No, I'm joking.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I'm not against it.
Yeah, I mean, and so it could be that, or it could be like, is it really? Is it? That's very satisfying. Did you see any of the Hollywood Bowl live
score? I miss it every time.
I saw The Prisoner of Azkaban there.
Oh,
and
you're
it was
kidding.
Wonderful with the Los Angeles Philharmonic playing the soundtrack live. It was pretty charming. Yeah,
okay,
recommend it. I got to do Creep LA. You got to do one of those like live screenings of movies. Okay, so yeah, so three movies, and it can be, yeah, you know, it can also be...
The Neverending Story.
Oh, listen.
Well, let's do Harry Potter again, just because.
Yep. Let's do it!
Let's do it!
This is yours. You get to choose whatever you want.
Hey.
Douglas Adams, is it the
I'm sure there's some there's definitely some Douglas Adams floating around down there.
Yeah, I saw him. Like, is it The Hitchhiker's Guide? No, it's a different... Oh, it's the... Oh, it's the whole one. The more than... Complete Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, watch out. Watch out. Perfect. You'll give your whole life to it.
I think every single book report I've ever done was on The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I just kept submitting it. All right. Sorry.
No, I like that you're getting ideas from those. The majority of those books, if not all of them, that's mostly my sweetie's bookshelf. And then I have my bookshelf in the bedroom. So I'm not that much help because I'm looking at some of them going like, I don't even know what that is.
No, my entire house is basically books. Like every wall is books.
I love it.
Piles of books.
I love it.
So I'm always drawn to people's bookshelves. I'm like, who are you?
How are you with like science fiction stuff? Or do you respond favorably to that?
My father is huge into science fiction.
Yeah.
So I should go there, but I haven't really explored that much of it yet. Fantasy and science fiction are two that I still kind of need to get into.
Yeah.
I'm really into historical fiction.
Historical
fiction.
Yeah, that's
so
something.
Like Ken Follett.
And... Yeah. That's something that I know that I could fall deep into and haven't yet.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Because you're actually learning.
Yeah.
But through just fictitious characters.
I do love that. There's a great one that my boyfriend just finished that he was a huge fan of, which was about the Alamo. It's a historical fiction set at the Alamo. And he actually bought it thinking that it was going to just be like historical nonfiction. Mm-hmm. But he was like, it's wonderful. It's so well done.
Alamo?
I think it's called The Alamo. I can even look when we're done. But
remind me when we're done.
Yeah,
I'll write it down.
He says it's great. And that's kind of my next book
that
I'm going to listen to. Yeah. Okay. So I have The Neverending Story. I have Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Movies.
I want you to feel free to go into a cartoon. I don't want to put any pressure on you to stay in human flesh reality. Gross. Human flesh reality. Super gross. Yeah. That is not an escape room I recommend. It's actually quite uncomfortable.
You done human flesh reality? It's disgusting.
A lot of people really like it though. I don't like
so
that.
Horrible.
Okay. Let's do three. Okay, here we go. Okay, so let's do three times in history, sort of as inspired by stories that you've enjoyed in historical fiction.
Can I change the last one?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, sorry. Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, great. Okay, easy peasy. All right, here we go. There's a weird one. Easy peasy. That's just rhyming. That's kind of almost
like
Cockney.
Have you watched Stranger Things?
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Great. Easy peasy. I love it. Do you enjoy them, Stranger Things? We all do.
It's fantastic.
I guess
the acting is just so...
It's so superb.
So good. And I like that everybody just looks interesting.
And real. Yeah,
and
there's
real.
Something very real about it.
Yeah.
It really is something. They really figured it out. Okay. Yeah, so historical fiction, but sort of like you get to visit a place, three different places in time, as kind of inspired by stories that you responded to or not. You know, it can just be that you have a general sense that you'd like to see. Great. It's always a good sign when I don't even have to finish whatever weird rambling I'm trying to.
Like 1700s, 1700s Vienna.
Okay, great, great, great.
And 1800s Paris.
Okay. Paris, wonderful. Okay, next category, three foods that in this reality are perhaps bad for you. It's too much of a good thing. Something like that where you're like, oh, I wish I could just indulge and eat this all the time and never get tired of it or never get fat or never have an allergy or whatever. Or this is also an opportunity for you to use the kind of like, oh God, there's this one type of food in Israel that like I can't find here that I wish I could have.
There's a lot.
So there's sort of, this is like three of that. So three fantasy foods. So it can be, I just wish I could eat all the brownies in the world without any negative ramifications. But it could also be like this one particular pastry that I got at da-da-da or a soup or whatever. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's kind of a multi-category.
That's
going
to be hard because I tend to just indulge.
Great. So. That's also okay. Well, then you can make it more about like a thing that is harder to access because of where you are, or you know, this one thing that you have.
I did go to the supermarket when I first arrived here, and I was like, "Where is the za'atar?" I'm like, "Excuse me." I'm like, "Okay. Labane?" They're like, "We don't know what you're talking about."
Okay, got it. Well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's what this can be. So this can be something that you want that you can just have at the snap of your finger in perpetuity. Okay, great.
In Israel, it's rare to see kids, at least, or even adults, eating soup without soup nuts.
Okay.
It's shkedeh marak.
Okay.
It's like these little square yellow things. Yum. And it goes in soup. And okay. It's hard to find here.
Soup nuts, great. It's confusing because there's an expression here where people say from soup to nuts.
Oh, really?
Which I guess...
I'm like, soup nuts, great!
Yeah, I know.
Bring it on.
So I wonder, I mean, those things, they probably have to be related. Maybe it's like you eat the soup and then you have the little bits left on the bottom. So it's because that's to exercise completion. Like, we did it all from soup to nuts.
Oh, maybe. It could be.
Another thing we have to get to the bottom of. I know.
Who makes nut soup?
I know.
Doesn't sound great.
We'll never know. We may know.
Oh, I had it and now I forgot. I wish it was easier to find really, really well-made bread.
Yeah. Yep. Perfect.
And I'm a pescatarian, so I wish less sauces had meat in them and I could just order whatever I wanted.
Yes. Meat-free.
Meat-free living.
Meat-free living. I love that magazine you created, Meat-Free Living.
Oh, it's
I'm sure there
room.
Is one.
Meat-free living?
You got to escape all the trends.
Yeah, you got to escape eating. The meat.
You got to escape the meat. Escape the meat. Different escape room. Much darker. Okay. Next category is, okay, so we're going to do, all due respect to your partner, we're going to do three people that in this alternate universe, it could either be like you have a love affair with, or it could be the sort of like long-term companion, somebody that you would just want to spend one night with, but three people.
Oh,
and it could be someone, it can be, you know, Peter Fonda from, I don't know where I came up with that, from like Easy Rider. I don't know what I'm talking about. That came out of nowhere.
Well, now we know yours.
Yeah, apparently. I don't feel comfortable with that at all. But it could be also like, you know, someone contemporary, but three.
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Done. Get in line.
I know,
just behind her in front of me is what
I
say.
I know. If you let me cut in line, great. Oh my God, this is difficult.
That's a lot of pressure.
Oh, I know.
Is it difficult because it is, you don't tend to like have those, you know what I mean? Or is it like, oh, there's like a lot of, but like to really, or is it just like you're drawing a blank because it's any category that you would be drawing a blank?
It's a character. The category is huge. So I'm trying to think of, it's also complicated when you're in this business.
I know.
Like it was a lot easier to come up with this.
I know.
Oh, we have a list.
I know.
When you're living in Israel and there is no chance you're going to meet these people.
Well, and that's why sometimes I lean towards like things that are in the past because then it's like, well, I'm never going to meet, you know, 1980s version of whoever. Yes. Or, and it can also be like a character that someone played. Like you might not want to be with Leonardo DiCaprio, but maybe you want to be with like the version of him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
so the Titanic version of,
Leonardo
DiCaprio. Okay. And the Interview with the Vampire version of Brad Pitt.
Great.
Done. They're characters, not them.
Yeah, totally different. I mean, it would be a different experience. You can't meet them wanting...
From Sherlock.
Great. Sherlock, great. Okay, next category is three... I'm really taking my time with this.
Yeah.
Three bands that you can hang out with. They can play for you. They're great. It's not like Don't Meet Your Heroes. It's like, don't worry, they're all going to be great people. And they can sort of, you know, you can be backstage, but it's almost like you can just get them to perform at the snap of a finger. Like all of a sudden you just get to hang out with this band and like listen to them play.
Queens of the Stone Age.
Great.
Oh, I'm blanking on the name. Hang on.
Boy, I've been there. Let me help you out. Neil Diamond. The Backstreet Boys. The Bee Gees.
Oh my God, no. Tune into your rocker.
It could be that I'm coming up with ones intentionally to not be the ones that you're hoping for. Garth Brooks.
How about like...
I mean, listen, we could complete, you could
Metallica.
Okay, great. I was going to say, like, feel free to kind of change history and suddenly now Megadeth, not only does the concert not
but
end with everyone unceremoniously tipped out of there, but also, yeah, it's it could go on as long as you want.
It was probably the security who were like, you got to go.
I'm sure.
I'd like some classical music.
Oh, great.
I mean, let's do Beethoven.
Okay, great. God, that would be something. Oh my gosh. That really would be something to be in a room with
band,
Chopin. Like
to a lot
he's.
Of swing music.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun dancing
well, I swing
too.
Dance.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So
that explains everything.
I'm not good, but I just do it.
I love swing dancing too, and I'm very not good.
Oh, there are incredible places to go.
I haven't done that in a really long time. So maybe I'll have to get some fresh recommends.
Swing dancing.
Yeah. This is going to be an exhausting but wonderful day. I can't wait. Okay.
You get one day. We do it all.
Your friendship will last. Exactly. One day. Okay.
You get 24 hours to fit everything in.
Okay. Let's do this. Okay. This is a brand new, never before done category, but sometimes I do like superhero powers and stuff, but here's what I'm gonna do for yours. This one is, things that you like, skills or superhero powers, or just some way of navigating the dreams that are like stressful or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like three qualities that we can infuse into your dream personality that can tackle the stress
nightmares.
Dreams. Yeah,
An extreme sense of smell.
Amazing! I can't say I would have guessed you would say that first. It makes me so happy. I love it. Extreme sense
because
of smell.
Because why not? It's completely useless, probably. But I mean, well, I'll figure out something to do with it. I'd like to make, dream people disappear.
Great.
Not real people.
Yep.
Like put them on a timeout.
Yep.
Been like, you're being an asshole.
Great.
Snap my fingers. You go into an alternate, you know, reality for like a timeout, and then you come back when you're calm.
When you're ready to behave.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
But only dream people would not use this. Maybe sometimes.
With certain drivers. You'll get greedy and like mad with power in your dreams, and you'll bring it into the real world.
Smell. Mad.
You guys, she is really proud of her extreme sense of smell. Like it's, it's very distracting. Okay, and then your final.
But I also want to be able to turn off the extreme sense of smell, because you don't want to smell like, you know.
Understood. It's at will. It's
when
at
you
will.
Go into public bathrooms and stuff, you're like, I don't want this on right now.
You can turn it right on off.
Okay, great,
absolutely.
Perfect. And another one would be numbing any kind of sense of pain in myself and anybody else.
Great. Pain, numbing. Great. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I just draw like a little, basically I start to draw a little spiral. And so just you kind of let me go for a couple seconds, but then you just sort of choose a moment to be like, and stop.
All right.
And then I figure out what my kind of eeny, meeny number is based on that.
This has got to be a less clunky way of describing it.
Did I give you like 10 minutes? We both have fallen asleep.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry.
Coming out of our mouths. I mean, just, you know, like a short burst of time. Okay, ready? Here I go. And tell me when to stop.
She's
looking at me so...
Can you hear my blinking?
I know, it's really sustained blinking.
Stop.
Okay. Wow, I made a full sort of weird mustache beard around this smiling face. Okay, I'm going to pause this. I'm going to do some calculating. I'm going to come back with your 100% guaranteed fictitious MASH future.
Mm-hmm.
To the listener, it will seem as if no time has passed. And I'll reveal what it is.
Okay.
Okay. It's also a good time to pee.
For me. And me.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'll tell you, what happens off mic is sometimes as wonderful and charming as what happens on mic. There was just had a very long conversation about a very adorable raccoon watercolor that Yale just showed me. God, I love it. Okay. I've got some good news for you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this has really come together. Number one, some of this is starting to feel like it has a flow. I won't say that all of it does, but I think we can make it work. Number one, I want to congratulate you on your beautiful house that lives inside. Your beautiful house that is in a town in the south of France, with a little fishing village.
Oh, fantastic.
Sounds very relaxing.
Fresh seafood.
Oh, yeah. You're fine. Well, I'll tell you what. That's one of the reasons that you're able to so easily navigate a meat-free world.
Oh, great. Yes. Well, we have no meat.
There's no, sauce is all meat
it's
free.
All
I want
meat
you to
free,
rest
yeah.
assured. So you have a beautiful house in this little town. Mm-hmm. When you want to, you can also jump into the world of Interview with a Vampire.
You know,
which is kind of extraordinary. Yeah. It's a little bit like Sleep No More. It's sort of like you created
kind of
this.
Just show up there at my village.
Yeah. They That's show right. up like a traveling circus.
Yeah.
And by the way, this does not disclude actual character of did he play Louis Brad in Interview with the Vampire?
Yeah.
So that's who you got.
So Brad just shows
up. You got him.
That's great.
So you guys
Louis
can kind of go
by.
In and out of the movie.
Yeah,
you got him.
Wonderful.
I know
eating seafood and blood.
Eating seafood. It's very easy for
it's
me to imagine.
The meat free when it's a vampire though. I didn't think this through.
Just sucking a fish.
With his fangs. Like it's a little humiliating.
It's a little humiliating,
but
right.
he'll
you
do
know,
it for you.
That's why he doesn't live
he'll
there. He just
you.
Comes to visit.
That's right. That's right. And
right.
when you can't
that's
stand
okay.
to watch him do
some
what he
villagers
does,
might disappear.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're looking
you
the
know,
other way.
As long as he's not eating cows.
Which reminds me, you also, well, that might happen too. You also have access to Paris in the 1800s. So there's some kind of crossover happening with all of this adventure. And
well,
you've got your town
in
south of France. That's what I'm saying. Like
vampire.
There's this kind of interesting thing this that's kind of sense. Happening where everything culminates. It's also very easy for me to imagine you dazzling everyone with your piano skills in any of these places.
That works.
In any of these places.
Oh, yeah.
I want to congratulate you. You know what? I think you actually, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you actually played piano on one of Metallica's records because I know that
I
you
did.
Were very tight with Metallica.
I did. That's why they come in for
I thought so. I thought so. I
on
thought
the S&M,
so.
The Metallica record with the big orchestra.
There you go.
That was me.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah, I was also like 10 or something.
Yeah,
but, you know,
well, virtuoso.
I'm a child prodigy.
Virtuoso. And then lastly, I want to congratulate you for your ability in your dreams that I would also be fine with it coming out into reality as you build your strength, as you build your powers, the ability to numb pain, numb the pain of others, numb your own.
Well, I have
numb
to.
Your two pinky toes.
To
you're probably going to have to execute a lot of bad choice of words of those skills. So that is your wonderful. I mean, that's
this
very
is more, this
ornate,
is,
exciting
yeah,
future.
Yeah, I could never got that like out of tarot
it's
cards.
Fantastic!
You know? Who
oh no,
been able to give me all this. Information?
Oh no, not this. Not with this kind of
not
magic.
This baby.
I'd say tapping it affectionately.
What was the game called again?
MASH. So it's mansion, apartment, shack, and house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yael, this has been so
this
much
wonderful.
Fun. I had no, we don't know each other.
Day.
I can't even believe this was a real like
and the
hello
situation that just happened.
Oh, the raccoon situation. I gotta get. Listen, I'm gonna bring you right into that production. If I can get that raccoon
Please.
On a set, you're gonna get called. You're gonna be doing his portrait. I'm sorry, I need a portraitist for this one. Did I not write that into the script yet? It will go in the script.
Came on his
couch chair. My gosh. Tell people where they can find you online. Anything that you want to talk. We've obviously talked about Jane. It's a much beloved show. But you are on Twitter, etc.
I am on Twitter. It's just my name.
Great.
First name and last name. Same
Great.
On Instagram.
Great.
I mean, my name is not that common, so
no. I think if you're looking,
you're
probably going to find the right
you
person.
Can find me.
That's convenient. Yeah. It's very convenient.
It is.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast, and guys, I'll talk to you next time. As always, the JV Club theme song is "Back Before We Were Brittle" by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.